So I'm not going to put you all on the spot because the first service did it for you and proved my point perfectly. But when we did the silly memorization that we've been doing as we've gone through the sermon series on the Ten Commandments, if you're new, you don't know what I'm talking about, and that's fine. But we're going through the Ten Commandments, and I created this ridiculous memorization tool, which worked perfectly for me. Some of you all have found it helpful. Others of you all still don't get it, and that's fine. But when we've gone through it and tested you all to kind of see how much we remember, there's one of them that both services equally fumble over every single time, and it's this one, the one about rest. And you can interpret that in whatever way you would like. But of all the Ten Commandments, this one, the one about rest, the one about Sabbath, this one is probably the most acceptable we feel for us to break. Christians seem to not have a problem with this one. It's certainly the most acceptable for pastors to break. How would you respond if we were breaking the 6th, 7th, or 8th, which are murder, adultery, and theft? But the 4th, working too much, that tends to be acceptable. But as we've been looking at the Ten Commandments, this is still a command on all of us. This is one that Jesus clarifies in the New Testament, but this is certainly one that we are still called to obey and follow for our good and for God's glory. Jesus himself renewed it. He told people to obey and modeled it, and we should follow it ourselves. So originally, the Sabbath was Friday evening through Saturday evening. Christians began to shift that commemoration to Sunday as the Lord's Day because it's the day of the week that Jesus raised from the dead. So what better day to honor the clarified and renewed day of the Lord than on the day that Jesus, our Lord, was raised? And so today, the way we're going to do this, this is not normally the way we go through sermons, but today I'm going to give you a long list of things that we're supposed to see about honoring the Sabbath. So I'm going to throw a lot at you. We're going to kind of go wide instead of deep. So I'm going to give you a list of 7. And as I realized after I'd created a list of 7, the Sabbath is the 7th day. That was not on purpose, but it does kind of work out. So I'm going to throw a whole bunch of things at you just to kind of get a broad picture of what this commandment is, what it teaches us about ourselves and about the Lord, lessons we're supposed to learn from it, and hopefully we can see what God expects of us as his people, but also why this blessing matters so much. So I'm going to throw a lot at you, and then I'm going to give you some practical applications on how we actually do this as we go. All right, so the first one is this. The Sabbath is for rest. That's the fundamental command. Rest, don't work. So Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11, that's the place that we've been finding this primarily as we've been going through. Exodus 20, 8 to 11 says this: "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the 7th day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You, your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your livestock, the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the 7th day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." The Sabbath is for rest. It's not laziness, it's rest from good hard work. Work is good, sermon for a different day. But when work is done, rest and refreshment is needed. And God builds specifically into his creation the need and the time for meaningful rest and refreshment. But I will say, for some of us, in our workaholic culture, most people, by the way, don't think they're workaholics, even if they are, but in our culture that tends to value ridiculous hours and using people up, sometimes it's hard for us to actually rest and live into this gracious gift that the Lord gives us. So I read an experience of someone recently, an experience of a mother and her young son. And the young boy would sometimes have severe tantrums and throw himself around and scream. And one time, just in exasperation as this was happening, the mother, just not knowing what to do, picked him up and just sort of squeezed him tight enough that he couldn't thrash around quite so much, and just squeezed and held on tightly and just sang gently over him while he kind of thrashed around in her lap. Not knowing what else to do, she just held him tightly until finally he began to calm down. And so that became their practice whenever he had one of those tantrums. And she said, her language, she learned to hold on to him long enough for him to remember who he is. That was her language for it. And I would suggest that's kind of like what this is supposed to be for us. A true day of rest, even if it's forced rest, because it may be unnatural for some of us, can be the chance for us to be held on to by God long enough for us to remember who we are. And it's a weekly opportunity to slow down, and even when we can, savor the moment. It's a weekly chance to remember who we are in Jesus. And if we never slow down, we can't do that well. So the Sabbath is for rest. Second one I'll give you is the Sabbath is for the Lord. It's for Him. Exodus 20, verse 10, which we've already read today, calls this day a Sabbath to the Lord. It's His day. That's why we say it's holy to the Lord in Scripture. It's His. That's why we worship together on Sundays. This time is set apart to the Lord, for the Lord. This is also why the gathered time, the time of Christians gathered together at church is not optional for Christians. This is the Lord's time. He tells us it belongs to Him. We need to honor it in the way that He tells us that we should. Scripture tells us, don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. And so we're told that this time belongs to the Lord, and He tells us what He wants us to do with it is to gather together to worship. And so we should remember that this opportunity to gather to worship, this gracious invitation from the Lord, is not a requirement to grumble about, but it is a requirement, and we're called not to neglect it. And so this day, the Sabbath, is for the Lord, to worship Him with His people, and so to skip that is actually to disobey our Lord and lose the blessing that He gives us. And skipping that also then lessens the praise and glory given to God in worship because we're not there to give it. And so the Sabbath, this day, is for the Lord. Another one I'll give you that we see in our readings is this. Number three, the Sabbath actually declares the gospel. This celebration, this commemoration declares, preaches, proclaims the gospel. Let me tell you what I mean. So the Ten Commandments are actually listed in a few places in the Bible, but in another place, Deuteronomy chapter 5, they're reiterated, and there God specifically notes this. He says, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." So He says, you used to be slaves who never got to rest, but now I've acted on your behalf. Now you are free, so don't live like you're still enslaved. Rest and breathe. And this is the good news of what God has done for us in Christ. Our ancestors were slaves in Egypt. We were slaves to sin and death, and Jesus conquered on our behalf. This is the good news of Jesus. We're freed from bondage and raised to new life in Jesus. We are no longer what we were, thanks be to God. And so He says, I have given you specifically a day each week to remind you of that truth. Each week, you are then given a choice to choose to live into that new life that we have or to go back to the slavery of never resting. And so the invitation is choose life, not that death. Choose freedom, not that bondage. And this day is designed to remind us of that. And so choosing to constantly work is described actually in this passage as what slaves are forced to do. But in Christ, you are free. And yet, to be honest, Christians, especially in the modern West, have so often chosen to return to that bondage of incessant work without rest and worship. So Jesus has set us free, and this command is actually designed to remind us of that as sort of a lived object lesson of that reality each week. It declares the gospel. Another one, number four, the Sabbath is for our good. This is a gift from God, and it is for our good. Mark chapter 2, Jesus says that this day was made for us. You need rest. You need sleep. You need time off. You need a break. You need to see your family. Your family needs to see you, or maybe you need a break so your family doesn't see you for a little while, or vice versa. You need worship. And this is a very practical gift from God. The God who made you, the God who knows you, knows your physical and your mental nature. God knows you and me, and he knows what we need. And knowing what we need, he goes so far as to command a day for our good. Sometimes we need to be commanded to take care of ourselves. I require our staff to take a day off. You'll notice, of course, that we work on Sundays. But they are required, we are required, to take a 24-hour period in a row off each week. And if something comes up and that gets taken away, they are expected to make it up with another day off. It's made for us, for our good. And then, number five, going step beyond that, this is made for our good, this is given to us, and then it says that the Sabbath is then also for others. It's for our good, and then we get to participate in that. We are given rest by God. We're invited to experience rest with him. And then, this is back to Exodus 20, it then says, it's also for your son and daughter and employees and animals. We're given rest by God, but then we're actually invited and even commanded to then be like God in granting rest to other people. So you're given rest and then invited into the calling of extending that rest to others. This, by the way, is why Jesus is not breaking or making an exception with the Sabbath rules when he does things like heal sick people. He's actually fulfilling the purpose of the Sabbath by giving rest to sick children of God. So the Sabbath is for other people, and we're invited in to actually help them experience that. Talk a little bit more about what that can look like in a minute. But it's also for others. Number six, the Sabbath makes us distinct. It makes us different. So our reading from Exodus 31 says this: above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. I, the Lord, make you holy. I, the Lord, set you apart. This is a sign that we are set apart for God. Now, the goal is that everyone comes to know the Lord and everyone gets included in God's people. Jesus died and welcomes all who turn to him in faith, not just us and our tribe, but all who trust in him and receive his free gift of grace. This is not exclusivity because of how special we are, but God sets his people apart. And the Sabbath day, the Lord's day, is a sign that we're distinct from the world because we keep it differently than everybody else. So another way to put this is that by keeping this day special and holy as we're called, we'll just make us look weird to everyone else. Because the fact is that in following the Lord, we're going to need to choose against certain things that our peers choose to do, and we're going to choose to do certain things that our peers choose not to do. God's people are marked as different because of what he has done for us. And Christians should make choices that are different. So for example, we're going to have to make different decisions about soccer teams and employment and going to professional sporting events that will make us look different from everyone else who don't keep the Lord's Day. And actually, the difference is part of the point. If we honor this day, we will be different. And so, in many ways, as one person put it, the Lord's Day is supposed to be one day each week when Christians simply refuse to show up. Because, frankly, we have something better to do. The Lord's Day is supposed to be rest from our labors, gathering to worship Him. And that makes us different, makes us distinct. And if we're not distinct, we can't call the world to anything better. And this day makes us distinct. Last one. The Sabbath is a sign of salvation. So just like the other commandments, honoring this day is part of the sign that we are being obedient to our Lord. When we faithfully keep this day, we indicate that we're part of the covenant because we're doing the covenant signs. And therefore, not doing it is publicly displaying that we're not following the Lord. But it's also a sign of salvation if you notice in Hebrews chapter 4, which we read today, was talking about the ultimate rest. And so our rest here and now is a sign of our ultimate salvation and rest that we have in Jesus. And so this day, this celebration, this commemoration is a sign that we are a part of God's people and a sign of our future salvation. You are not saved by coming to church, okay? And you are not unsaved if you miss coming to church. But if we are part of God's saved people, we should and will obey His word. And so this is a sign of our salvation. So I want to give you some ideas on how we put this into practice. So this is a command from God, not a suggestion. So we need to follow this. But I want to give you some then suggestions on what that could look like for us today. Now, the first one is actually not a suggestion because the Bible specifically tells us to do this one. But I'm going to give you the first one is just very simply, come to church every Sunday. Every Sunday. Unless you're sick or otherwise prevented, I get that. But I want to be clear what prevented means. Prevented does not mean that something else came up, or an event happened to fall that day, or lacrosse is played on that day, or, deep sigh, a Grand Slam tennis final falls on that day. But of course people travel and get sick. Of course, of course, of course. But when you travel, do you go to church where you are? Choose worship and obedience instead of anything else if it is ever within your power to do so. Another one. Unplug as much as you can in your situation on Sundays. Turn off the phone. Seriously. You do know there's power buttons on the side, right? Like, you can't actually turn them off. Turn them off if that works in your situation. I get that. Don't just silence it and keep it within arm's length so you're constantly tempted to go back to it. If you need to keep it on, put it on the counter so if it rings, you can hear it. But chances are what you're really going to hear is the ding of emails and text messages all day long, which also you can turn those notifications off, even if it's just for that day. Unplug as much as you can. Spend extra time with family and friends doing absolutely nothing productive. Can you put off some of those chores for the day? So for some people, like, not doing the dishes for the day would be really relaxing not to have to do that, even though they pile up a little bit. Other people, seeing them pile up would stress them out all day, and it would be the opposite of relaxing. Then perhaps don't do that. And if you would like to put them off and your spouse does not, you should probably do the dishes. Can you cut the grass another day? It's not sin to cut the grass on Sunday after church, but can you just put it off for the day so that you can rest and be refreshed that day? Now, other people, actually doing yard work and such is restful and refreshing. You're weird, but for some people, that actually would be a great way to spend that afternoon, is doing that sort of, how that could be restful, I will never understand, but that's fine. How might you be able to give rest to someone else on the Lord's day? That's what Jesus did on the Sabbath. He healed and gave rest to other people. Visit the sick and shut in. We have teams of people that do that every Sunday after church. Come early and make coffee so that others can enjoy it. Stay a little bit later and clean up after the service so others can go home. Serve on the altar guild. We also always need people to serve on the altar guild who help get everything set up so that when you come in, you can just enter into worship and didn't have to do the work to get it ready. Serve in the nursery so parents can get a break to worship. In a very different environment, I remember having a college professor of mine who refused to have exams or assignments due on Monday, specifically so none of his students would feel the need to cram the night before on Sunday. How might you give rest to someone else? What if you have a job that really does require you to work on Sundays? Well, can you honestly and firmly request the time off? I mean, at least Sunday mornings. Not every boss will accommodate. Some will, and after the Supreme Court ruling recently, some might have to. Or can you honestly and earnestly start looking for another job? For many, that's actually something they could do if they actually were willing to try. Or being willing to give up the pay for that time. Prioritizing faithfulness to God over paychecks. God often blesses our faithfulness above and beyond. Just look at some of the way that some of the businesses that have closed on Sunday specifically for this reason have been doing. I'm thinking of places like Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby. People said that would never work to close on Sundays for this reason, and to say the least, those businesses are not exactly struggling. But some jobs, of course, require us to be on call certain holidays and weekends. Of course they do. Doctors, pharmacists, police, of course. If you then have to miss, how can you then gather with the church to worship? Can you come to Tuesday morning prayer or midweek Eucharists? If you're stuck missing out on this gift and command, how then will you at least gather with the church in another way? The Sabbath, this day, is given as a gift to God's people for all these reasons. So may we hear his call and hear this command, not a suggestion, and learn to enter into this with joy. And so to end, we're going to use part of a traditional Jewish prayer that was used to enter into the celebration of the Sabbath each week. And so I think this helps frame what we're supposed to think and understand about this as a gift from God. Yes, a command that we're supposed to follow, but given with the heart of being a gift and a blessing to us. So we're going to use this to close this morning. So let's say this together. Come, let us welcome the Sabbath in joy and peace. Like a bride, radiant and joyous, comes the Sabbath. It brings blessings to our hearts. Workday thoughts and cares are put aside. The brightness of the Sabbath shines forth to tell that the divine spirit of love abides within our home. In that light, all our blessings are enriched. All our griefs and trials are softened. So, Lord, may we enter into your gift of the Sabbath to rest, to worship, to declare the gospel, that we and others may experience joy and peace in you. Amen.